Well, now it's time to meet the acclaimed Scottish performer, Claire Cunningham. Now, Claire has osteoporosis and has walked with crutches since she was 14 years old. And in her unique dance performances, she uses those crutches to create her own physical language. Her one-woman show is called Guide Gods, and it explores the themes of religion and disability using movement and storytelling and tea. Claire Cunningham is speaking to Claire Nichols in Perth.
Can you tell me about the relationship you have with your crutches?
Well, I guess it's relationship is a really good word for it. It's a connection that's kind of changed over the course of my life. I started using them when I was 14 and I really hated them. My shin bones started to fracture at that age. So I was using them just as anybody that might kind of break a leg or whatever would use them, and kind of imagined that it was quite a sort of short term situation, and kind of kept myself in that slightly deluded frame of mind for a long time, actually. And yeah, as a teenager, I didn't like them. And they were just an object, and they kind of were very loaded with a lot of negative implications. And then it was interesting that kind of I think I was about 27 when I first kind of encountered working in dance, very surprisingly. And that really turned a lot of that situation on its head, and that relationship changed a lot to them suddenly opening up a whole range of possibilities for ways of moving. I then became kind of fascinated by them, very geekily sort of curious about them as objects. And then that really shifted into beginning to really love them, actually. And then an acceptance of, oh, actually, this is a relationship. Actually, it's like a partner almost in a lot of ways. There's a dependency there between both of us. You know, they don't really have a function without me, and I don't function very well without them. So, yeah, it's really changed from kind of hate to love.
It is beautiful watching you perform with them. It gives you this graceful, this almost weightless quality as you move using those crutches. For those who haven't had the pleasure of seeing you perform, can you describe the way you work with those crutches on stage?
Yeah, I flip between two sort of modes, I think, with my crutches, in that they're either an object very much that I work with separately, and I've done performances where they very much become a separate object and I build with them. I turn them into other things. I've turned them into crowns or a big hanging mobile, and building with them and kind of showing the beauty of the object and how they fascinate me in that way. So they either kind of exist in that way, and then the other side of that is that they do become at times like sort of organic extensions of the body, which is a way people used to say that to me very early on when I started dancing, but I didn't really get it. I didn't really agree with it, but I realise in more recent years that they absolutely now have that organic connection to me, and that I do feel through them to a degree. Because I've used them so long, I guess the comparison for me is something like a juggler in the circus. I have a very, very specific tuning to these objects and how much they weigh, where the balance points are, so I can manipulate them and play with them. Yeah, in a very sort of, for want of a better term, quite virtuosic way, because I've used them for so long.
You came to dance quite late. I believe you started as a classical singer. Can you tell me a bit about that transition?
Yeah, I always was drawn to singing. And if I'm honest, it still in my soul is probably the most natural art form for me. But it's that difficulty with, as when I, although I studied classical singing, I was prepped through university to actually do the singing, but they don't really teach you how to make a living. They don't teach you how to actually go out and work. And I didn't know how to work in the industry when I came out of university as a singer. And so I did some work in musical theatre and got a lot of basic stagecraft, but I wasn't earning a living as a singer. So I began to look at how can I expand my skills, and through a whole very long story, kind of accidentally found myself in dance to my own surprise, more than anybody else's, I think, even. It was quite a sort of shocking twist, really, to go from, partly also the thing about singing had been, I was still coming from a place of discomfort with my own body and how I looked as a disabled person. I was still very, very uncomfortable with that. And to go into dance then, which is a medium that is entirely about the body and is giving people very specifically permission to look at your body and specifically how it moves, was a huge, you know, it's a cliche, but it was the emotional roller coaster. But yeah, it's been an extraordinary journey, and it's, yeah, the right journey. It's changed everything in my life for the better, for sure.
I saw Guide Gods last night, and before we get into the themes of the show, I want to talk about what happened right at the start, which is what we entered the space and we were asked to take our shoes off. And for me, it was the most disarming way to start a show. What was the thinking behind getting people to do that?
So the show is exploring the perspective of different faiths and religions towards disability. And obviously within certain religions, there is the ritual of taking off your shoes as you go into the place of worship. So there's obviously that very literal connection. But I think there is something about this notion of vulnerability a little bit. And I think this thing as well for me of equalizing people in the space. I think when people are required to have to kind of take a little bit more care and pay, maybe people become a little bit more sensitive to the ground that they walk on, or they look where they're going a little bit more. And I think that's my experience in the world as someone who uses crutches. I look at the ground all the time. I'm very, very tuned into having to watch the ground for kind of risk or slippage, you know, danger. So I think there's a bit of that, of kind of equalizing myself with the audience as well, of going, if I make you take your shoes off, you have to slow down, you have to be a bit quieter and pay attention. What was really funny last night, people came in and took their shoes off, and it took about 5 minutes in total to get everybody's shoes off. And in Scotland, it took about 20 minutes because everybody's turning up in their big winter boots that take forever to unlace. And, you know, there's no place to put them. Whereas last night, everyone turns up in like sandals and flip-flops, and it's like, whoop, off, gone. It was like, wow, okay, this is good. So we started the show much more on time than we do in Scotland.
Your show uses recorded interviews with people of different faiths talking about faith and disability. What did you learn from talking to those people about how they related to their disability?
There was different perspectives, and I mean, the show really tries to be, hopefully, very honest about it. It's just the perspectives of the people that I spoke to. It doesn't claim to be this is how Islam views disability, or this is how Buddhism views it. It's this is how this person who is a Muslim and is disabled, this is their experience, and this is this person who is Buddhist, and this is this person who's a post-atheist agnostic views it. So it's very... Hopefully people understand that it's not trying to make sweeping generalizations about anything. I mean, I think, yeah, it was really fascinating to hear the different perspectives. We had one woman who was a Muslim who felt that for her, she viewed disability as a test, as part of her life through Islam, that disability was a test for her in terms of how she dealt with situations and how she dealt with people's attitudes. The conversation that triggered the show was a man who was physically impaired who viewed his disability through the lens of karma. And it's interesting because, yeah, I think more than anything, what it does is it highlights my own prejudices or my own preconceptions more than anything. It highlights my own ignorance. When somebody tells me, you know, I think it's a test, I think, oh, and I get an emotional reaction maybe to that, whether I agree or disagree. And I think I think what is most exciting then is to, and most important is then to go, well, why do I feel that? Why does it trigger that in me? We might think we're very liberal, and then something comes up and you you react to it. And the important thing, I think, is to question why. You know, when I met the man who said his disability was related to karma, I think, yeah, I was a little bit offended because I felt that I was therefore included in that. If he thought that about himself, therefore he must think that about me. And then it's like, well, what does it matter? You know, if you don't believe the same thing, does that matter? Can you respect somebody to have a very different opinion? So, yeah, I think it more than anything, it challenged me to have to kind of notice my reactions to things. And I think hopefully that's maybe a little bit the experience for an audience as well.
Did it change the way you think about your impairment?
I don't think it changed the way that I thought about my own impairment so much as it made me aware of, I think, my own ignorance in other ways, in the sense that I would talk to people perhaps who followed a faith but maybe weren't disabled. And I suddenly realised that I was now in that place of not knowing the language and of being scared to say the wrong thing, which is the experience a lot of non-disabled people have around disability, is a fear of saying the wrong thing, or people being worried about, you know, the people that go, oh, it's political correctness gone mad. I don't agree with that. I think language is hugely important, and it is very important to look for the language that people want to use themselves and to respect that. So I think terminology is important. I don't think it's PC gone mad. I disagree when people go on that. But I realised I was in a situation where I didn't know the correct terminology at times. And I was talking to people who were clearly trying to find the right language around disability to talk to me, and were kind of treading that minefield in talking to me. And I was doing the same back to them, but around religious terminology. So I think that was really fascinating.
Claire, you make a bold proclamation at the start of the show that you have discovered the secret to world peace. Do you care to share that secret with us today?
So there's a running theme through the work that I believe potentially that the cure for the means to world peace might just be to sit and have a cup of tea. And this comes entirely out of the fact that this was such a recurring theme with everybody that I spoke to. So all the interviews that I did, whether they were within the show or just surrounding research, everybody offered me a cup of tea. You meet up to talk to it with somebody. Do you want a cup of tea? Ah, yeah, okay. And I actually don't like tea. I'm a coffee drinker. But what I noticed was that particularly in religious institutions, it's all instant coffee. And I can't stand instant coffee. So I ended up having to drink tea, partly because you're also trying to be polite. But it's an icebreaker. And that these things of like sharing a drink or sharing food are universal sort of things in every culture. So it felt like that was it was a thread that ran through everything, and it felt like a really nice way to connect everyone together. So in terms of an audience as well, to be able to share something like that, and then literally to share that as a space at the end of the performance, to be able to go, okay, yeah, let's have a cup of tea and chat. And this is universal. The simplicity of something like that, have a cup of tea and talk to somebody, and creating the space to do that, I think, yeah, I do consider that the time after the show of sitting, having a cup of tea and a chat, whether that's me with members of the audience or members of the audience with each other, I consider that still part of the show and just as essential, and possibly more essential than the show itself.
Claire Cunningham speaking to Claire Nichols in Perth. And Claire's show, Guide Gods, was on as part of the Perth Festival, the Perth International Arts Festival, just last year. You're listening to Books and Arts on RN Summer.